first time I was in there, I was blown away. I was pretty well blown away when I was there with some of you guys. And it was just an amazing thing the first time especially, because I had been an art student, and I have a lot of hours of art history, and I had studied Ben Gough, you know, in school, and I'd never seen any of his stuff close up. And when I first saw him, I couldn't move. They let us stay in the museum for another 2 hours after it closed, because I couldn't move. I was just crying and just like, wow. And it was a quantum experience. I mean, there's no other way. I mean, it was like, it was total communication throughout space and time. He was literally on the other side of that painting, painting it in that moment. He was there putting these piles of paint on there, just like with all the passion of the universe. I mean, you know, like, and each little piece of paint, every little brush stroke that he used, you know, built up the texture. So it was textural and colorful. It was multicolored. Each blob of paint on there had all the different colors of the universe in it. And it's like, holy shit. I've never seen anything like this. I've studied it for years and years and years. I never saw it before. We watched a video about a week ago, and it had to do with fractals. You know, and just a couple of things before I really get into the course and everything else. The people in the Middle Ages, they've determined, couldn't see the color range that you can. You know, there was a quantum leap somewhere in there where the visual spectrum opened up so that people could actually see beyond that. And we watched this program on fractals the other day, and, you know, and the main gist of the thing is we couldn't see until the 1970s. You know, seriously. You know, like, you know, and the idea of how we see as human beings is reflective in our architecture and our art and several other things. And up until very recently, you know, we literally saw everything in terms of circles, triangles, squares, and a straight line. You know, and everything with smooth sides. You know, like all we could ever deal with in our art or anything else was something that was really smooth. You know, this is what the human being does to smooth over where they find themselves. We do everything that we can to escape this moment in its totality. We've been afraid of this moment because we think of it as chaos. Fractals came along. And you really start to, you know, like, this is a whole new way. It's like literally revolutionized medicine, you know, everything. I mean, just the way that, you know, science works. There's a whole different thing that's going on in a lot of things. And they've discovered that interference patterns in, you know, like in telephone wires and things like this. You know, there's a repeating structure of interference patterns, you know, like a big one and then it's got small ones, you know, and it's got its own particular look. And this is available, this is actually throughout nature. And, you know, like by utilizing this, they found that you can actually analyze the structure of mountains, the bottom of the sea, you know, like everything. It's literally mappable, you know, and there was no way of mapping anything before. You know, and like one of the old paradigms is, you know, like how big is the coast of England? You know, like how can you map the coast of England? You know, and up until now, all of the rulers that we're using were way too large. You know, and fractals allows the whole thing to just get in there and get every little piece. The guy that discovered this was a mathematician, and, you know, he was working on, you know, he had dropped his, he had already come up with a book, and, you know, he had gone to work, you know, trying to develop a background for some movie. He was hired by, you know, a movie to try to, oh, he was making commercials for TWA or something. And they always wanted to show the airplane with a nice background. So, you know, and they didn't have a way of showing mountains. You know, but with fractals, you know, like they could get that down perfectly. They could just reproduce that. And a lot of the big movies, you know, have been using fractals all along. One of the major scenes in Star Wars where a couple of the major guys are fighting with their light swords and everything else, and there's this volcanic type thing going on, you know, where it's dumping lava and steam and everything else. This is all done with fractals. You know, like it's not possible to do a lot of this other, you know, this thing, you know, without this item, you know, at use. And a fractal is basically you just take something like a triangle. And then, you know, like, well, the guy that worked out the first part of this was you'd take a line and take out the one third of the line, the middle third, and then one third of each of those, and, you know, and you'd have this whole thing, and they called them monsters. You know, they would develop these, quote, monsters, and it was like this whole unbelievable thing. And then when you'd put it into a schematic, it would show this unbelievable thing, like a galaxy, like a spiral galaxy, you know, like just with, you know, just doing this little mathematical equation. And they've really determined that this is literally what your veins are like. This is what, you know, like your neural set is like. And it's just like all of a sudden they feel that we can see so much more than we could see a moment ago. And really, you know, that has to do with the quantum universe and all this sort of thing. But it's still just part of your own mind. It's literally still part of the hologram of reflected light that you're experiencing. But there's nothing to be afraid of. It all still makes total sense. You know, we thought it was just random chaos, and they find that, you know, like, you can literally analyze the Andes, you know, and it all comes out fractally. You can analyze the relationships within, from a tree to the entire forest that it's in. And it's just like one thing going on. You know, what it all boils down to is this idea of singularity. Mind is singular. Everything is part of your mind. And that's what the whole quantum thing is in its reality. That's what fractal is in its reality. Everything is already included in your mind. Everything you see out there, you know, lesson number two, I've given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. You know, it's like, this boils down to just my own experience of reality. Everything I'm looking upon is the meaning I've given it. Literally, I do this from time to time, you know. But it's literally, I'm only looking at the stuff of my own mind. There's nothing outside of myself in this entire thing that I can ever be aware of that's not already in my own mind. There's nothing that you can possibly discover that's outside of yourself. What about this little idea? I am as God created me. You're already that. You can't possibly be anything but that. You're already created as the total thing. And yet we walk around in this little identity, in this little containment field that I hold on to purposely so that I don't experience the truth of myself. I am the joke of the universe. But it's really fun when you start to look at yourself and you realize that, wait a minute, I'm totally insane. The insanity is not out there. It doesn't matter what problems I think I'm having with somebody, you know, what I think they're doing to me, what I think I've done to them. It's like, none of that's real. Here I am, only in this moment, right here, right now, with all of the things that I think are going on in my mind. And this is where, you know, I need to allow conversion to happen. But this is just an allowance. And this conversion that we talk about, it's not this dark night of the soul bullshit that everybody thinks it is. Everybody's afraid to step into it because they're afraid of it. It's you as you're created. It's you as you already are. There's nothing to worry about. You're already perfect as God created you. You can't be anything but that. This is just... So a moment of conversion, just like, oh, ha, I was mistaken again. Duh. You know, but it's really totally simple. You know, the only thing that the Course ever brings you to is the total simplicity of salvation. You're doing it but to yourself. You know, do you believe that? I don't know. Where are you in your mind? You know, this is the only place that anything is going on. What is it you want? Do you want to hold on to your old parameters of this is me as a self-identity here in time and space at this particular time and place, and I'm going to get old, sick, and die? or whatever it is. You know, I'm going to find a new girlfriend. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, who cares you've already done it. For 40,000 years, you've been doing that same thing over and over and over and over. It never stops until you decide that enough is enough. When you want it to be done, it's done. And not only is it done for you, it's done for the entire world. I lose the world from all I thought it was. I didn't know that's what I was going to teach until really just now. And I came in, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked at the clock, and it's 1:32. And it's like, and I wouldn't have had a clue yet, except I couldn't remember what lesson 1:32 was. And I found that exciting. That was like really bizarre. I mean, I can't remember. What the hell? I know that's Derwin's favorite lesson. You know, I know I've taught that lesson 1,000 times. I can't remember what lesson 1:32 is. You know, and I had to get up and open up my book. I was like, what the hell is going on? It's like, and then I got it. And it's like, hey, thank you, dear one. Of course. You know, and he has this really cool video, and it's got many of my favorite sections, you know, dealing with the present, you know. You know, 199, 200, 188. You know, it's just like there are all of these really great lessons. And just any of those things, any one of those would make your day. You know, and it's always just turning to the lesson. You know, and it's like, wow. And your mind opens up. You know, Master Teacher used to always talk about the first thing he would do before he even get out of bed to go to the washroom, he'd make sure he remembered who he was. And that's a real good way to start your day. I mean, you know, like, what a deal. We need to reset ourselves because, you know, as we come out of our dreams, you know, this is still more dreams. And I really need to just reset right here in this moment. And I find myself as God created me. I don't have to hold on to my old ideas. I don't have to wake up with the same stuff going on in my mind that was going on last night or in my dreams or anything else. It's just like, this is so simple. Just always, simply do this. Come with whole empty hands into this moment. You know, and just let this whole thing be easy. You know, this is a transformation. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's only going on in your awareness. You're not being transformed to anything that you're not already. I mean, you know, like, don't worry about a thing. You're going to find the truth of yourself. You're going to find that experience of yourself as you are. This has to do only with experience. This has nothing to do with concepts. It has nothing to do with, you know, like what we can talk about at lunch. You know, it has only to do with, and each and every moment we can just go home. This is purely simple. Now, the complexity that you find is what you've used to complicate the issue. You know, so what? You know, you don't need to do that anymore. This moment is always free of all of the old ideas if I let it be. Mind is singular. Today's lesson is entitled, I am not a body, I am free. Of course we're free. We are as God created us. What is that? The closest we can come to that here is mind. You know, we're just free. That's the truth of it. What am I? I'm mind. And mind is singular because I am still just the extension of my Father. But I'm not separate from Him. He didn't just drop me out into the ocean somewhere and let me go down, you know, for the last time. I'm part of His mind. He creates through extension. And I have to do that same thing. What is that? I can only extend mind. I can only extend truth. Anything else that I think I can do has nothing to do with reality. And I just don't care about it. You know, all I can give you is what I give myself because mind is singular. I can only give it to myself. And in that, I give it to you. Wherever you are in your mind, it doesn't matter if you can understand a word. By the way, if you're having trouble understanding this and trying to work it into your old ideas, stop. That's not what this is. You know, like This is Miracles Healing Center. We all saw that sign as we came up. You know, we came here to allow ourselves to be healed. You know, not to validate ourselves in time and space and form and, you know, like, how will I have this? You know, this is an undoing each and every moment. Right here, right now. This is all this moment is for me. You know, that's all that we... This is the moment we come together and share. I mean, like, my God, you're in my mind. I've always rejected you. I mean, not only, you know, projected you, but I had to reject you first because you're part of my mind. Literally, I want just this part of my mind for me, and I'll let you have that part of your mind, you know, my mind for you. And, of course, I don't want that in my mind anymore. And so now I have all of these things that I keep dissociating from myself, but then I associate with it. You know, as this identity, now I'm in the state of associative thinking. And, you know, like, and we have this relationship of hate or love or whatever, and none of it's going to be real. I'm insane. I am what insanity is. It makes it really, really easy. There's no insanity out there. That's just me in my mind. That's all that it can possibly be. Just allow it to be easy, because it is. You are as God created you. I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. And you don't even try to have to identify what that means. You know, you don't want to ever have to work this into your old understanding. You know, like, I think I understand, test of truth. I think I understand anything, something. You know, and that's why I need a miracle. You know, this is just coming into this moment with holding on to nothing, just letting it be perfect as it is. That's all forgiveness is. You know, like, this is so easy. The whole course is just, you know, we use different ways of looking at it, but it's always the same thing. Like, forgiveness. What is forgiveness? It's nothing more than me allowing this moment to be perfect, without bringing my old ideas about you into it. And I can just see you anew, right here, right now. We can just step into this moment together as mind, and not based on our old experiences. We can just come into right here. And the whole dream's over. Right here, in this moment, we stand at the end of time. There's no more time available unless you decide to make more time. Why would you need more time? You're already where the action is. You know, here you are, right here, right now, with the entire wholeness of you. You know, if you don't hold something outside of you, if you let me be part of your mind and not just something that you think is out there separate from you talking to you, if you allow me to be an element within your mind and you're hearing this within your mind, we're one. And you step into the awareness of that totally. Master teacher, when I first ran into him, I was coming up from Chicago, and he would say, I'm the Savior. I'm your Savior. In so many words, and, you know, and just totally implied constantly. When I stopped debating that, you know, it took me 3 weekends up here before I realized, wait a minute, you know, I'd go back to my room, you know, after, you know, the session that he'd given, it's like, and I'd go lay across my bed until lunchtime, like, I wonder if he's what he says he is, you know? And I'd think about it, you know? And just like, you know, I was just into my own brain farts, you know? It's like, I'd think, you know, whatever meaning I'm given, you know, it's like, and I'd, oh yeah, okay, he might be, you know, or he might not be, you know? And as long as we use that modality of thinking, so it will be with us. And we're always holding ourselves back. We're always confining ourselves to this separation as a body, mind, identity, caught in our own little ideas about ourselves and our own little ideas about each other. You know, on the third weekend I was up, I realized, in a moment of honesty, which is pretty difficult for a human being to come to, you know, I mean, you know, like just the idea of like, maybe I need help, you know, like, that, you know, I mean, that shows, if you ever come to the point where you realize that you need help, you're basically at the end of your trip. you know, be glad. I mean, when you finally find that you're not going to solve your own problems because you're the one that's making the problems, you know, it gets easy. You know, so anyway, on the third weekend, I just went back to my room and just like, dang, how would I possibly be able to tell from where I am if he's my savior? Well, I can't. I think I have a choice then. I can either say he's my savior or he's not. And if he's not my savior, then I'm not saved. You know, so I've already been down that road, you know. So I think I'll just let him be my savior.
Wow.
No, this is how this works. This is about an experience. All of these different lessons bring you to a direct experience within your own mind. That's their purpose. It's not something that you have to memorize each lesson or something like that. Its purpose is an undoing of you. So I let him be my savior. I'm saved.
Thank you.
Now, I'm in a whole different parameter. You know, it's like, wow, I guess he was my savior. You know, I find myself saved, you know. Like, but it was my acceptance of that. My allowing that to be so in me that made him my savior. You know, this is literally how mind works. It's like now, oh, of course. And thank you so much. I mean, my God, how would I, if he hadn't just been standing in my face, how would I ever have even made that shift? It would be impossible because I wouldn't come to that on my own. I have never had somebody right there in my face constantly just saying one thing. I had run into him in the 80s in Chicago, and I considered him a one-trick pony. He was always talking the same thing, singularity of mind. I was wanting him to validate me in my spiritual acuitism or whatever, acuity. You know, and it's like, he wasn't going there. It's like, okay. So, but finally, you know, I was on my knees. Finally, I'd come to the very end of my rope, and I knew that I had to make the change in this body-mind configuration now. I mean, like, really soon, because I didn't have much time left. And there was no more tomorrows after this existence. I mean, this is it. I mean, it boiled down to here and now. And so finally, and that was a moment of total honesty. I mean, there was no more trip. I'd already looked throughout time and space and form for an answer to this. I mean, literally. And like, oh my God, I'm down to just this time point. I have to awaken now because I know what happens in the alternate time point. It's the end of total destruction. So here I am, and I haven't found an answer anywhere I've looked. At that point, dropped to my knees and totally called for help. I was up here the following weekend. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I didn't know what he was talking about. You know, it didn't really matter. All I knew was I had asked for help. And this had to be the help that I'd asked for, because I had fervently asked for help. And I mean, it was a total thing. Like, okay, wow. You know, so that's why I just gave it all the credence that it could possibly have, because I'd already asked for help. And this was totally different from anything I'd run into. I never had somebody standing in my face like this, like, okay, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that, it's not that. You know, and it's like, okay, wow. You know, this must be the help that I've asked for, because it's absolutely nothing that I've ever found before in time and space and form. And it was. And as I allowed that to be so for me, accepting it one minute for myself, as I allowed that to be so for me, so it was. This is the same thing I'm trying to extend here. Okay? If you want this to be so for you, allow it to be so for me. Allow myself, allow the guy next to you to be your savior. You know, drop your ideas about him. You know, because that's totally counterproductive. That'll just give you more of the same old crap that you've always known. This is a new moment. Right here, right now, is where the solution always is, and it can only be here. You're not going to get this in the future. There is no future. You're standing at the end of time right now, I'm telling you, because I've already used up the entire future. Been there, done it. This is it, right here, right now, in your mind. What do you want? You're not going to get it next year. What do you want? You're not going to get it next week. What do you want? Here you are, right where you stand, with all the bullshit in your mind, you know, with the flies biting you and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, come with wholly empty hands into this moment. So today's video is going to be, I'm not a body, I'm free. I'm just going to read a couple of little quick shots here from the video. The only time that you would possibly be a body is the idea of the present location of yourself in this time and in this space. If this is true, you suffer from a condition within your own mind of remembering that you're a body. See, you're always bringing it with you from the past. You're never right here in this moment and just finding out what this means, what this whole moment is all about. You're never right here stepping into the now. You're always, you know, and this is lesson 8 and lesson 10. Whenever I'm thinking about the past, anticipating the future, or organizing the present, my mind is actually a blank. If you want to take an honest look at yourself, how much of your life has been spent in one of those three occupations? So, in other words, how much time has ever been available in your mind for something else to happen? Because right here, right now, is where the miracle is, always. If I'm not preoccupied with my own stuff, the entire universe is available as an experience. A little continuation of that same idea. All of space-time is only the idea of your coming into this location within your body formation, going through another death experience with yourself and repeating over and over and over again that you're a body, yet with the sure knowledge that while you represent yourself as a body, who you really are continuously escapes you by the simple admission that in truth, while you may formulate your idea of a body identity of reflection of light, the simple truth of the matter is, are you listening? You have no idea who you are, or how you got here, or what you're doing here. That's all dear ones ever said. That's all master teachers ever really said. I mean, you can look at it in a thousand different ways, and all these different things, they're all meaning the same thing. You know, that you that you're identifying has nothing to do with reality. It's of your own making, does not exist. You know, another one of the lessons, you know, the lesson where I'm going to probably read, we'll see what happens here. You know, lesson 132, I lose the world from all I thought it was. What happens when you lose the world from all you thought it was? Everything's totally changed. There is no world. Jesus says this like 9 times in the lesson. There is no world. But how do you know that as long as you're holding on to a world? You know, we have this weird idea of, like, that we're, you know, we can work this into our old ideas. You know, I can hold on to this part of me, and now I can, you know, learn something different over here. Your mind's totally preoccupied with its own meaningless stuff. You don't have a place for anything to come in. That's what this moment is for. Right here, right now, is always the moment where you can just let go. That's all that's ever asked of you. It's not a big deal. It's not a long transformational process. It's just a willingness right here, right now. You know, if that's not pure simplicity, I don't know what is. You know, and I can say it works. You know, it's just like, wow. Whenever I glitch, I'm the joke of the universe. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Doesn't matter what words you use. It's just so easy. Just be about it. You know, you've come into this place where the word is, it's the end of time. It's the end of space. It's the end of you as you've identified yourself. Let it be so for you and find out what that means. I lose the world from all I thought it was. I'm going to read just a little bit from Immediacy of Salvation first. Paragraph 4. And this section is in chapter 26, number 8. Paragraph 4. You know, and a lot of this is about, you know, I think that my problem is time. I think that this is something that may be going to happen in the future and everything else. You know, but my problem isn't really time. My problem is space. I maintain a distance between us right here, right now. And that's always solvable. This is paragraph 40. The space between you and your brother is apparent only in the present now and cannot be perceived in future time. No more can it be overlooked except within the present. Future loss is not your fear, but present joining is your dread. And there you have it. That's the human condition right there. You know, we're afraid to join. We're afraid to just allow ourselves to disappear into our brother. You know, and this is one of the ideas, you know, behind doppelgangers and all this sort of thing. You know, we're afraid to come into the wholeness of ourselves because we'll just be one totality of singularity and time and space for us will disappear. And that's where we are. You know, your doppelgangers are all around you. I mean, they're not really separated by you, you know, very far from you. I mean, these are each one of these that you've peopled your world with. Is you. It literally is just yourself you're always judging. It's only yourself that you're looking at. And it's only yourself that you hold a grievance against, even though it seems to be this other guy that you can hold this nice little grievance against and escape it in your own mind. Mind is singular. We're not bodies. Present joining is your dread. Who can feel desolation except now? A future cause as yet has no effects, and therefore must be that if you fear, there is a present cause, and it is this that needs correction, not a future state. You're always just right down to right here, right now, within your mind. The plans you make for safety are all are laid within the future where you cannot plan. No purpose has been given it as yet, and what will happen has as yet no cause. Who can predict effects without a cause, and who could fear effects unless he thought they had been caused and judged disastrous now? Belief in sin arouses fear, and like its cause, is looking forward, looking back, but overlooking what is here and now. Yet only here and now its cause must be, if its effects already have been judged as fearful. And in overlooking this, is it protected and kept separate from grace, separate from healing. For a miracle is now. It stands already here in present grace, within the only interval of time that sin and fear have overlooked, but which is all there is to time. You know, the now. As a human being, we can't even find this place. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, like I first realized that, you know, at the university when I was graduating. You know, like all the preparations that I'd ever made were, you know, concerning this day where I was, you know, finally getting the hell out of, you know, school and going out to get a career. But my mind was totally preoccupied with the past and the future. It's like, holy shit. You know, how can this be? I'm missing this moment. I mean, this is the moment I've been anticipating all my life. How can I possibly be missing this moment? And it's like, and I started to realize the insanity of my mind. Like, You know, it's like, I'm not even here. I can't even stay here. No matter how hard I'm trying to just be in this moment of just being here, this moment, I couldn't find it. It's like, whoa. You know, I mean, the now is so fleeting to a human mind that we never find it. It's just like, it's this transitory moment of going from the past to the future. And you can look on one side or the other, but you can't just be right here. You know? And it's just a funny thing. It's like, wow, what is this? One of the things that's on the card for me to teach today is, you know, subjective reality versus objective reality. And, you know, like, this was something, you know, at the university that we were given a choice in. Is the nature of reality objective or subjective? You know, by reality, of course, they're even talking about just what we perceive here as being reality. Is the nature of this objective or subjective? And, you know, like, and this was a class of grad students and seniors, and, you know, like, and we'd have like 2 weeks to discuss this in class. I mean, you know, and the amazing thing, you know, and of course we all know that through the Course in Miracles, is that whatever position you assume, actually Greg was the one that taught me this, whatever position you assume, you know, it's going to be true for you. I mean, everything will validate that. I don't even know. They disappeared, flashed out. Wow, that was wild. Oh, they came back. But, you know, like, if you assume the position of reality as being objective, so it is for you. Now you're being blown around like a leaf in the wind. You know, it's just like, that's just the way it is. I mean, everything will be self-fulfilling. You know, if I allow it to be subjective, if I understand, if I just take on the position that if this is only going on in my mind, that, you know, like, this is, everything I see is a projection of my mind, is part of my own mind, which is basically what the Course starts with, you know, it'll prove itself to me. You know, so if you want to find where the basic shift is from human being into somebody that's about to step on through totally, you know, that's a good place to start. Just allow this to be just your own mind that you're seeing. You know, and your foundation. You know, this is where we have to challenge ourselves, is at the very foundation where we stand. It's not going to be changing a little aspect of something that I see in myself as a fault, that I see in my brother as a fault, you know, whatever. It's literally only dealing with my foundation, where I find myself. You know, lesson 333, as I am, in all the totality that I am in this moment. You know, this is where change has to happen, right here. You know, that's all the Course teaches. You know, the Course is the only way out that I've found. I mean, you know, I've tried meditation, I've tried a lot of other things. You know, it's just like, I need an undoing. You know, and that's an active thing, because I'm an active doer in my own mind. You know, and my attempt to escape what's going on in my mind, you know, by just like, I'm going to go into a nice state, you know, and then later on I come down out of that and I find myself right where I was. No, I that's how it is for me. I don't know how it is, you know, for somebody else, but that's what I always found with it, you know. And I did, you know, a fair amount of meditation because it was a relief from the stuff of my own mind, you know. And finally, it's just like, we just step into whatever that is that's in our mind, you know, all the fearful things, all the horrid things that are going on. I'm the one that's producing all of that in my mind. You know, it's just right here in my mind, like, okay, maybe I was wrong. You know, I can't even tell that I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong about all that. Help. You know, and that's the pure simplicity of the conversion of it. It's not a big deal. Like, if I'm willing to just take a chance on being wrong, you know, I'm like, you know, but as human beings, as long as we're trying to protect this little identity that we have, we're so screwed. You know, just read, you know, chapter 31. Most of it has to do with, you know, the self-concept and self, even though it may be spread out into another four sections. It's just perfect. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, that's what we do as human beings. You know, this is a blueprint to how your mind works. And it's the blueprint out of here. If you apply it, my God, what we've been given. You know, in the Bible, you know, Jesus talks, you know, like, many prophets and men of understanding have longed to hear what you're hearing and didn't. You know, the prophets, those who are assuming that they already missed their opportunity. That's the men of wise men of understanding. The prophets are looking for, you know, the second coming in the future, or the 15th coming in the future, or, you know, whatever. You know, and everybody misses this point. Right here, right now. And yet this is the only place that you are. Where are you? You gotta be right here, right now. I mean, you know, even though you're wandering in your mind constantly, you know, it's like, wow, I can still only be right here, right now. And this is where my solution has to be, right here, right now, because this is where I am. Chapter 15, paragraph 8, we'll start with the second sentence. 15:1-8. The two uses of time. Second line. Fear is not of the present, but only of the past and future which do not exist. There is no fear in the present when each instant stands clear and separated from the past without its shadow reaching out into the future. Each instant is a clean, untarnished birth in which the Son of God emerges from the past into the present, and the present extends forever. It is so beautiful and so clean and free of guilt that nothing but happiness is there. No darkness is remembered, and immortality and joy are now. This lesson takes no time, for what is time without a past and future? It has taken time to misguide you so completely, but it takes no time at all to be what you are. Begin to practice the Holy Spirit's use of time as a teaching aid to happiness and peace. Take this instant now and think of it as all there is of time. Nothing can reach you here out of the past, and it is here that you are completely absolved, completely free and holy without condemnation. From this holy instant, wherein holiness was born again, you will go forth in time without fear and with no sense of change with time. Time is inconceivable without change. Yet holiness does not change. Learn from this instant more than merely that hell does not exist. In this redeeming instant lies heaven. And heaven will not change, for the birth into the holy present is salvation from change. Change is an illusion, taught by those who cannot see themselves as guiltless. There is no change in heaven because there is no change in God. In the holy instant in which you see yourself as bright with freedom, you will remember God, for remembering Him is to remember freedom. Line 4 in paragraph 11. It takes far longer to teach you to be willing to give Him this than for Him to use this tiny instant to offer you the whole of heaven. In exchange for this instant, He stands ready to give you the remembrance of eternity. You will never give this holy instant to the Holy Spirit on behalf of your release while you are unwilling to give it to your brothers on behalf of theirs. For the instant of holiness is shared and cannot be yours alone. Remember then, when you are tempted to attack a brother, that his instant of release is yours. Miracles are the instants of release you offer and will receive. They attest to your willingness to be released and to offer time to the Holy Spirit for His use of it. Down in paragraph 15, line 5. There never was an instant in which God's Son could lose his purity. His changeless state is beyond time, for his purity remains forever beyond attack and without variability. Time stands still in his holiness and changes not, and so it is no longer time at all, for caught in the single instant of the eternal sanctity of God's creation, it is transformed into forever. Give the eternal instant, that eternity may be remembered for you in that shining instant of perfect release. Offer the miracle of the holy instant through the Holy Spirit and leave his giving it to you, to him. Today's lesson 262. We're in this little section now. What is the body? And Jesus tells us it's a fence to keep separate parts apart. And that's what we've always identified ourselves as here in time, space, and form until now. Lesson 262, today's lesson. Let me perceive no differences today. Father, you have one Son, and it is he that I would look upon today. He is your one creation. Why should I perceive a thousand forms of what remains as one? Why should I give this one a thousand names when only one suffices? For your Son must bear your name, for you created him. Let me not see him as a stranger to his Father, nor a stranger to myself, for he is part of me and I of him, and we are part of you, who are our source, eternally united in your love, eternally the Holy Son of God. We who are one would recognize this day the truth about ourselves. We would come home and rest in unity, for there is peace, and nowhere else can peace be sought and found. The video today has, you know, a lot to do with peace. You know, the peace of God is shining in me now. And there is no peace except the peace of God. It's like, how do you access this? Well, Master Teacher is going to show you how. You know, and it's always just letting go of everything that you think you think. You know, and just stepping into this moment totally. And allowing something else to happen. Because this moment is whole. This moment is where you are. And it's the only moment that you can possibly be. Right here, right now. So I think without further ado, we'll let Master Teacher enter the picture. And that'll be it for the picture. Because all there is reality, and that's all that's left. You know, we're just done with our meaningless journey. You know, it just went nowhere, finally. Simply do this, come with empty hands into this moment. And let that self-identity be replaced. It's already been replaced. You don't have to hold on to it any longer. It's already gone. It only lasted one moment. And no effect on eternity. And right here, right now, you reclaim that for yourself. You are the Son of God. You actually don't have a choice in that except in your awareness. You know, like, why persist? This nonsense.